Very good morning to you. I wonder, what is it that stresses you out? I'm sure there is something that stresses you out. For me, one of the things, there's more than one thing, I'm sure, but one of the things that stresses me out is going to the airport. I want you to picture this scene. I am ready to leave my flat. I've agreed the time that we're going to leave with my wife. My bag is packed, my passport is in my pocket, I have my shoes on, I've called the taxi cab, and I call out, "Are you ready, dear?" And back comes the answer, "Won't be a minute, just got to take a shower." And you know that a shower never takes a minute. I'm getting anxious just thinking about it. In fact, I'm very anxious at the moment because actually I'm going to the airport later today. The flight was going to be later this afternoon. They moved the flight forward, so I shall be preaching, getting out of the pulpit, getting dressed quickly, and rushing off to the airport. Pray I make it on time. Jesus said in our passage, verse 22, "Do not be anxious about your life." But that is easier said than done in the world that we live in. It seems to me that we live in an anxious world. One glance at the news and anxiety rises, doesn't it? Maybe something I know Singaporeans are following very closely are the demonstrations in Hong Kong. And I love this picture that I found. There's a bit of good advice. Keep calm, don't shoot. Then there are other things that we see often on the news here. Missile tests from North Korea. But this other one, this next one, that's shown in the West recently, that's one from Russia that blew up in test. But that ballistic missile can go as far as it would like throughout the globe. There's another picture. That is the FTSE 100 index. For somebody who's preparing to retire, that stresses me out no end. We can think of a different kind of world. The next picture is humanity in crisis. This is a refugee camp. This is currently the largest refugee camp in the world. It's in Bangladesh. Its population, look at that, 886,778, according to UNHCR. These are Rohingya people in that refugee camp. Then the next picture, pictures of war. This is Syria. Still the largest conflict that is going on at the moment. But did you know currently there are 29 wars that are being waged within the globe at this given time? And then there's the next picture. I don't know if you recognize that place. That is a picture from the CNA report following Prime Minister Lee's National Day speech. And this is the picture as he warned, if we do not deal with global warming. That's a picture of Singapore, or how it could be. That's enough to make you anxious, isn't it? Now, all of that might feel something outside of us today. But the fact is, anxiety is all around us. And in fact, anxiety is within us so often. In our modern world, and our so-called developed nations, whether that's in the East or in the West, the reality is we have never known so much materially. We've never had so much stuff or opportunity. We've never had so many choices that we can make. We've never had access to so much technology. We've never had so much comfort and so much convenience. And yet at the same time, we have never, ever experienced so much anxiety. Current statistics show that some 10% of Singaporeans suffer from some kind of diagnosed anxiety disorder. And actually, that simply reflects the rest of the developed world globally. And these figures are increasing rather than decreasing. We seem to live, it seems to me, in an anxiety-driven world. And anxiety fills the atmosphere at times. When I go to the UK, I feel it with Brexit and all of that happening or not happening or what will happen. And then I come back to Singapore and I feel it as well. It can be the pace of modern life that we live. It is so fast, so demanding. Everything is so instant, you have to keep up. It can be the strain of paying bills. It might be worry over medical provision. It might be getting the children into the right school. It might be getting on in senior years and making provision for that, which is my current worry. It can be the pressure of continuous achievement, climbing the ladder of success. It can be the peer pressure to keep up with fashion, to have the latest gadget or accessory, or the latest car. There is never a shortage of things to make us anxious, is there? In fact, at times, anxiety can permeate our hearts. Worry can infiltrate and fill our minds. Anxiety can bring us emotionally and physically and mentally and spiritually low. Amongst all of that, Jesus never ever said that worries would not come our way. There were worries at the time of Jesus. That's why he's speaking about the subject. He doesn't say that there will be never times when we panic inside. I'm sure some of you have felt that. Or when stress presses in hard. But what he did say was not to allow anxiety and worry to rule us, to govern us, to be our master. That we should not be like the man in the parable that Jesus had told just before our reading. It's what we looked at last week. If you remember, the parable that Jesus told was a man who was storing up his crops and then storing up his possessions and storing up his goods and building bigger and bigger barns to keep everything in, accumulating more and more. Why? Because he wanted to relax and to be secure in his future. But suddenly in the parable that Jesus tells it, he loses his life the next day. And all of his man-made security meant nothing. Was of absolutely no use to him. And the point that Jesus is making and that we're looking at today is that we can only be secure in the Father's love. We began this sermon series quite a few weeks ago now, and can remember we looked at the priority of Jesus, that we might love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And now we close this sermon series with the absolutely fundamental importance that we live in the love of the Father. So let us look at our text. We'll be stepping through it. So verses 22 to 23. Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." Now, you Singaporeans might be saying, hold on, food? Because all I ever hear you talk about really is food. Where, what is the tastiest food? Where the best hawker center is? You have your durian parties when they're in season. I like it when there is a new food outlet that happens and there is a great big long queue, isn't there, as waiting to try the new tastiest morsel. I can see your mouths watering as I'm talking about food. But I'm sorry to tell you, life is more than food. It is. Food is needed to sustain our physical life, of course. Clothing is needed to preserve our life on cold days or cold nights, at least it is in the Northern Hemisphere where I'm from. Here, we keep ourselves modest with our clothing. But Jesus here is saying that there is more to life than tasty food and fashionable clothing. He's talking about soul and body. He's talking about a life that is found within the life of God himself, a life that is lived out in enjoyment and pleasure with God. And that is the greatest purpose that we have in life. It is the greatest fulfillment that we have in life, of living within the enjoyment and pleasure of God. So the first word of the Lord to us today is, do not be anxious. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That is Psalm 34. This should be your Singaporean motto. Taste and see that the Lord is good, not just the latest hawker food. And it's an exhortation that we can use to one another when we're struggling, when we're in stress, when we're anxious. Encourage one another, taste and see that the Lord is good. But it is also a nice thing to do is to take somebody to lunch as well. And anytime you want to take me to lunch, just fine. Next, Jesus says, verse 24, consider the ravens, that means the common birds. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Now the thing about birds is that they have to live one day at a time. They do not grow their own crops. They do not have fridges to store their food in. Each day they have to go and find their food. Each new day they have to rely upon God's provision in his creation. Indeed, here in the text it says that it is God who feeds them. It is God who provides even for the birds. And it is God who provides for us. Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? Give us today our daily bread. And that means not just physical food, but all the resources that we need to live his life for that day. And we do that each day at a time. Therefore, secondly, do not be anxious, my friends. Jesus is the bread of life, and he will nourish you with himself each day at a time. And he does this, according to this text, because he values us. A little bit earlier, Luke had recorded this in chapter 12 and verse 6 and 7. He said this, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, do not be anxious. You are of more value than many sparrows. You see, in today's world, our value can often be placed on what we have, our possessions or our wealth, or maybe our position or our status. And all too often, we are striving and striving to be valued more and to have more self-esteem. Now, it's very interesting here how Luke says that 5 sparrows are worth 2 pence, about 2 cents. Now, that was the going rate in the temple at the time. When you go and read Matthew's account of this, the parallel account, Matthew says that 2 sparrows are worth 1 pence. So apparently, if you bought 4, you got 1 thrown in for free. Good deal. But you know, sometimes we can think of ourselves as the 5th sparrow with no or little value. I meet so many people from all walks of life who can feel that way. So therefore, do not be anxious. The Father values you more than many sparrows. You are precious to him. You see, you have worth because you are made in God's image. You are precious because you are fearfully and wonderfully made by the loving Creator God who numbers every hair of your head. You are valued so much that Jesus gave his life for you. Why? so that you might know his Father, so that you might know that you are beloved, precious, a treasured child of God. There is no other greater truth to know than that. And then Jesus goes on to say, verse 25 to 26, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest of your life? And again, this is a very common sense statement. Our anxiousness actually does not accomplish anything at all. It certainly cannot add to our life. In fact, our anxiousness can take away from our life. But as I've already said, we know that this is not easy. That anxiety actually can breed anxiousness, and we can get into a vicious circle. And some of us, the truth is, are more resilient to this than others. I'm actually quite a stable kind of person generally, but I can get anxious. My dad could get anxious. In fact, my kids can get a bit anxious as well. Before I came here to Singapore, I was in a particularly intense time of ministry and under a lot of pressure. And anxiety rose up in a way I'd never known before. And it took me some time to overcome my own inner reluctance, but eventually I had to go to the doctor. And I had to receive medication. And I had to learn that there is no shame in doing that. Really, there is no shame in needing to do that, to care for ourselves in that way. One precious verse for me throughout my life and through pastoral ministry and leadership is one that's probably well known to you. It's Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I have had to learn to train myself to give over these things to the Lord. Because when I take on a burden that is not mine, I cannot carry that. It's not my role, it's not my place, and especially in Christian ministry. And I've learned that I need to consciously and intentionally trust in times of pressure and anxiety, and to take the Lord at his word that he will take my burden. And my holding on to it is not going to help. Therefore, the Lord says to us, do not be anxious. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5. You see, Jesus is more than able to carry our burdens. He is the strong one. I spoke about that a few weeks ago, that Jesus had been teaching in Luke's gospel. His love is stronger than death itself. And when he went to the cross, he didn't just die for us for our sins, but he took upon our burdens on himself. And therefore, the very place that you place your burdens are at the foot of the cross. And that's where he takes them. And then next, Jesus says, verses 27 to 28, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? This connects us back to verse 23, when Jesus said life is more than food. He says life is more than clothing. And again, it's a very pragmatic, practical statement. A lily in a field cannot grow itself. It cannot plant itself. It cannot spin yarn and make clothes for itself and make itself look beautiful. This is what a field of lilies looks like. It's a beautiful thing to behold. Why is it so beautiful? Because it's the work of the Creator God. He delights to adorn things with beauty. One of the things that I miss from my journey, if I was back in England, is traveling from London, where I might have to go, back to my hometown, which is about 50 miles, about 70 plus kilometers from London. And as you go out of inner city London and then through the suburbs of London, you start to come into rural Essex, which is where I live. And then for about 40 kilometers, the fields, when it's in season, are clothed with God's glory. Because we grow rapeseed oil, and we call it fields of gold. It's bright yellow. I never had time to get the pictures up. And then we also grow a lot of lilac and lavender, and it's purple. So you can be driving along, and there's yellow and purple. God's creation clothed with beauty. Jesus is trying to get us to open our eyes to see beauty. And all too often in our modern world, we're so focused in on other things, we fail to look each day to discover beauty. To discover the beauty in God's creation. But also to discover beauty in other people who are created in the very image of God. And you see, this is the perspective that we're to have. Jesus said to pray each day for our daily bread. I think here he's saying each day, look for his beauty. And that is so therapeutic, you see. So do not be anxious. He adorns you. He dresses you for his purpose. You see, he knows your frailty. He knows your shame. He knows that sense of nakedness that often we feel before God. And yet, he adorns us with beauty. And he does that for eternity. If he adorns the creation even with grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he adorn us with beauty, whom he loves for all of eternity? This is the perspective he wants us to have. So know the truth of Isaiah chapter 61. It says this: he adorns you with a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint or fearful spirit. And then finally, we come to the end of these do not be anxious sayings. And Jesus gives this positive encouragement of what we are to do. Again, well-known verse. Let me read it, 29 and 31. Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Jesus says that instead of being anxious over seeking all of these things, things that the Father knows that you already need, seek him. Seek him and his kingdom and his kingship. Seek his rule and his reign over your life. Seek his truth and his righteousness. Seek his will and his sovereign purposes for your lives. That is the far, far better thing to focus on. And it's there that we find our true security. I could speak on that for longer, but we're just going to go into this next verse because this is the key thing. As we draw to a close, Jesus says this in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, I want you to note that it says, gives us the kingdom. We do not now suddenly go out and try and earn this. We do not try and go out and work for it. It is given to us. Jesus takes us back to where he began this whole section in chapter 11, of the good father, the father who doesn't give his children a serpent instead of a fish, the father who doesn't give him a scorpion rather than an egg, but who gives his good gifts, who gives the gift of himself, who gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, who gives the Holy Spirit, who reveals the Father to us. Which is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back again into fear or into anxiety, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You see, the Father longs to shower you with his love and his grace and the things of his kingdom and to give you those good gifts and to bring you to that place where you can relax and be secure. But we relax and we're secure in the knowledge that he is in control. And then we can be secure in him. In such a place, anxiety does not have to rule us, because King Jesus is the one that rules us. And then we live in his Father's love. Let's take a couple of moments to pray. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us as the good Father God, the giver of good gifts, the one who is in sovereign control of all that there is. And we pray this morning that we might be able to taste and to see that you are good. And so, Lord, we receive you now, even as we go to Holy Communion later, but we receive you now as the bread of life who sustains us. And Lord, we thank you that we can know that we are precious in your sight, that we are treasured by you and valued beyond measure. And Lord, we just want to take a moment to release our burdens to you. We ask that you would take our burdens from us and we place them at the foot of your cross. And that we might learn to know that you are our burden bearer. And Lord, we ask that you would adorn us with your beauty. And we thank you that you dress us for eternity. Teach us, Lord, we pray, to live secure in the Father's love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.